Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences. A church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you. Acknowledge the presence of any persons who are guests, who are not members. You're not members of our church family. You're visiting with us today. Will you stand and we may acknowledge your presence? If you're not a member of our church, will you stand and remain standing? Our deacons are going to make haste to you. Put something in your hand. Amen. I want you. God is kind, isn't he? You may be seated. It's preaching time. And again, let me salute all of our, as I did on last Sunday, salute all of our graduates, especially those who graduated last weekend and all of our high school, middle school, and whatever else graduates that will be coming out the month of June. I understand school closes somewhere around the 20th of June, something like that, but we want to salute our young people. God is kind. Choir's going to give us a number and under the leadership of Dr. Harding, and then we shall get the broken word. Amen? Spoken word, brother. God still answers prayer. Turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Second chapter. And verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Talk about the sound of Pentecost. The sound of Pentecost. And they all spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Last Sunday, I believe, we discussed the prerequisite for Pentecost. And one of the things we highlighted was the need for the church of our age not to so much relive what happened 2,000 and some odd 14 years ago, but to experience the same fervor, the same feeling, not so much feeling, but filling. The same fervor, the same fulfillment that the early church experienced. For I don't believe that Pentecost is a historical event alone. I believe it is an experience, a continuum experience for every believer in every dispensational age. For whenever you read the book of the actions of the Holy Spirit through the early church, one can clearly see there is a contrast between the state of being of individuals before the encounter or the experience and after the encounter. And I believe that if anything, the book of Acts, Luke, left on record for us is not just information, but literally he left on record for us examples and demonstrations, evidence for us as it relates to what happens when an individual who is saved, who has accepted, who has trusted Christ for redemption, what happens to us when that individual allows the promise of the Father to take total possession of his or her person? Luke left on record so that you and I can get a first-hand bird's eye view of what happens to you when the Holy Spirit indwells and infills an individual's life. He also, in his writings, when you read the book of the Acts or the actions of the Holy Spirit, there is right in that entire book, especially in its prologue, in its early beginnings, there is two distinct experiences that every believer must have. One is baptism, and the other is infilling. When I speak in terms of baptism, I'm not speaking water related. Matter of fact, scriptures say John baptized with water. But you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So John's the water baptizer. But Jesus is the only one can baptize in the Spirit. It's so simple that, as Isaiah said, a fool, the wayfaring man, could not err. And one of the things about the so-called intelligentsia and the so-called intellectuals and so-called theologians, they've managed how to take what is simple and make it complicated. But all one has to do is read John 15, 16, and 17. And you'll discover Jesus himself was not confused concerning the need for and the imperative of God to every believer to be filled. Listen to Jesus. If I do not go, the Comforter will not come.
Amen.
And then he said, listen. He said, the Father will give you another Comforter. And then he says, let me tell you who he is. He says, the Holy Ghost. I don't want you thinking Satan and all of his mimicking and trickery can bring you any comfort. We're a comfort meaning helper. Your helper will come. The one who will come as a helper to help you do what I've commanded you to do in terms of promoting and proclaiming the kingdom of God through the preaching of the gospel. So Acts really is Luke's way of showing you and I. It's a road map. It's a road map. It's an instruction book for believers who are serious about their faith in Jesus Christ. And so when you read the pages, we ought not to read them with a sense of disconnect, but we ought to read what happens in Acts in a deep sense of attachment and with the intention and desire to have God breathe on us the way he breathed on those early believers. One thing Luke points out, so that this dispels any notion that the Holy Spirit was given to a certain class of Christians. You know, we like to put labels and assignments on people. We got different standards for people who are in positions and people who are non-position folk or not official leaders. We've gotten so crafty at it. I'm laity. Laity. So that's another way of saying it. I'm not held responsible for the same accountability that you are, because you have a title. Nothing's in the scripture to that effect. And this is how Luke dispels it. That is every believer's responsibility to be filled, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, you understand that the Holy Spirit is only for believers in Christ Jesus. Only for those who have trusted Christ for salvation. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will only, if you will, enter in a surrendered life. A life that has surrendered itself to the will of Christ. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit falls on a glad heart. Got to be a praiser. Lord help us. It's all in the text, because whenever the saints who got excited about the Lord, the Holy Spirit would move. So look with me now, right in those little few verses I've given you, and beyond that too, but nonetheless, they're in Jerusalem, in the upper room, and I'm persuaded to believe that that upper room is the same upper room that Jesus held the Last Supper. And I'm also persuaded to believe that that same upper room is the upper room in which Jesus showed up when the disciples were locked behind or bolted behind a door, afraid, shaking in their boots, with Thomas talking about, "I don't believe until I see it for myself." I believe that's the same upper room that Jesus showed up in to give evidence to Thomas, "I'm alive." And then he sends them back to the same upper room and tell them, "Now, I want you to go there and wait." It had to be a large room, because in that room, it accommodated 120 people. 120. I got to hasten. 120 people were in that upper room. Wait for the promise of the Father. So it was a large room, and in that upper room were people like Matthew, John, James. Let's say all of the disciples, all 11 of the originals. Prior to somebody getting the bright idea, we need to vote in one more to make the number up. Some guy they picked up off the street named Matthias. He said, "Come on, we're going to make you one of us, because we got to get this thing going." But nonetheless, what happens in the upper room? The Bible says when they all got on one accord, right? They were in one place, and they were all on one accord. Now, I like that language. They were all in one place. And I think that term "one place" has deeper meaning than just physical presence in one place. I want to say when they all brought their minds into one place, when everybody stopped wandering about what's going to happen at M&T Stadium today or tomorrow, Memorial Day celebrations, when everybody brought their minds from off their jobs, what supervisor, co-worker made you mad Friday, when everybody brought their minds in from the house where you just left from laying somebody out, I don't know what language you spoke in. When they all brought their minds in from the mall, where they planned to go after church, so they go ahead of time while in church. Uh-huh. He says they were all in one place, on one accord, meaning they were now in agreement. In agreement in the sense of what our purpose for being here is. And our purpose for being here is obeying the Lord's command. Thank God. He says, yeah, they were all with one accord in one place. And the Bible says there were some sounds at Pentecost. It's important that every believer understands that if you're going to hook up with God, if God's power in the person of the Holy Spirit is going to indwell you, you and I got to get on heaven's agenda. You and I have to dispense with our agendas and get on His agenda. Secondly, they were all in one accord in their trust. They began to really trust what the Lord said would happen if they went there. Oh yeah, trust. And that's a key, because many of us cannot fully be who we ought to be because of our low trust level in the Lord. And listen, when you trust God, it's like sitting on that pew. You don't ask that pew, are you going to hold me? You came right in here and you set your glucose maximus down and never thought for a minute that termites have weakened that pew to the end that you could have fell straight through to the floor. Well, don't look now. Don't brace yourself. Loosen up. That's the kind of blind, if you will, or should I say open-eyed trust you have to have with the Lord. So that anything the Lord tells me to do, if He says do it, I understand He's got my best interest at heart. I'm going to do it regardless to how painstaking it may be to me. Because the Lord will never tell me anything that will ultimately destroy me. It can only develop me. Y'all with me? Oh yeah. So whenever you and I fail to trust Him, we are literally calling Him a liar. Oh yeah. And the scriptures teach God is no man that He should lie, nor is He the son of man that He needs any repentance. What He said He'll do, He'll do. What He promised to give you, you will receive it. But He conditions it with our trust and obedience. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. Have you ever stopped to think that the whole pillar of the Christian faith is predicated on trust? Listen to Jesus. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Now He is saying that to Philip and others who were doubting Him. And He said, look, Philip, if you don't believe me based on what I said, and at least you ought to trust me based on what I've already done. Let me ask you something. Is there any time in your life that God has not proven Himself to be the God of goodness and mercy? So if God has already proven Himself, what's the problem with trusting Him right now? They had to go in that upper place and trust that what Jesus said to them on the Mount of Commission and in the Mount of Ascension, that what He said would and will come to pass. So what they discovered was the problem was not in the covenant that He's made. It's not in the commitment He's made. But the problem is in the conditions we have set up right here. We have set up a condition of ambiguity, unbelief, and disobedience. He says, listen, look, they got on one accord, and they were all in one place, and they used the most powerful tool to put people on one accord. Can anybody tell me what that one tool was that they used that's so powerful that it unite even the most devious, devilish, deceitful heart? Somebody say prayer. No, beloved. Music. They started singing. And they started singing the same tune, or the same melody, and the same message. They all started singing one song.
Now, I don't know what they were singing. They could be singing an old Pentecostal song. Praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning. They kept singing, they kept singing, they kept singing until the song or the message of the song got down in them. Maybe let me sing it like this. Have you ever been in a worship service where the refrain is sung over and over again until something in you let loose? And then you got caught up, and then you did not want to let it go. Oh, come on, you worshipers. You've been there. I've done it 100,000 times. Got on a song and wouldn't turn it loose. Oh, yeah. They sung a song that they all could sing together. And then as they were singing, their hearts were beginning to get lifted. Their spirits became sensitized. Their faith became stimulated to the end that they literally sung themselves into another aura. Oh, yeah. They got in a place in God that no other method or means could take them.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generation for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.